This is Paul Puckett. Welcome to Getting There, the money show that focuses on your life. You're not completely upfront with your feelings today, I read as I sipped my morning espresso. You know that there is more going on behind your polite smile than you care to share with anyone. Paradoxically, the less you say, the more people understand you. Some thoughts don't fit into the regular flow of conversation, and forcing the subject can do more harm than good. Pick your discussion topics carefully and save the others for a rainy day. In the meantime, keeping the emotional drama to a minimum makes everyone happier now. What am I talking about? What am I reading? Well, that's from www.tarot.com. That's T-A-R-O-T. I think I'm pronouncing it correct, as in tarot cards. Looking at the future. Now, here I am recording the show today, broadcasting the show today, and I opened my morning and somebody decided to mention my horoscope to me, letting me know that I'm not completely upfront today, that the less I say, the more people will understand me, and that I should pick my discussion topics carefully while saving the other ones for a rainy day. Lovely way for a guy doing a show to start his day. So to be completely upfront with you, I don't start every day with a horoscope. I'm curious if you do. There's nothing wrong, in my opinion, with starting your day or during your day, taking a glance to see what the stars say about what type of day you will have. Sometimes it can be sort of funny to look at one that's completely off, and other times you might look at one and be like, wow, how did they know? Now, why would I talk about that on today's show? That's a very good question. I have to be upfront according to the horoscope, and I have to make sure that this fits into the regular flow of conversation, because if I force the subject, that could be a mistake. You can see how you could get hung up on this if you really wanted to, the way often you can get hung up on your investment portfolio, making decisions about your finances. Should I buy this? Should I buy that? Should I do nothing? It can be very confusing. And I'm talking about professionals as well as regular, everyday individual people like you. So let's pick a safe topic, you know, so I don't violate my horoscope. I think we need a safe topic that no one will be upset about. It's an election year. It's an election year, isn't it? So today will be the election show. Now, before you turn off the radio or iTunes, or Stitcher, or whatever you're listening to me on, I'm actually not going to talk about the candidates. I'm going to talk about the numerous elections we've had here in the United States of America, and the impact our attitudes towards the future have, not only on how we vote, but on how we talk about the people we vote for. If you're on Facebook, you're probably at a point where you're thinking of not looking at it again for quite a while. Why? Because if you elect either candidate, it's the end of the world as we know it. It's done. Now, I'm not going to play REM, the end of the world as we know it. What I'm going to talk about a little bit is history. Now, many of you are older than me. Some of you are as old as me. Was that my back popping? And some of you, many of you, are probably younger. But I bet almost all of you have forgotten this. So I'm going to play a little song, and then I'm going to tell you exactly why and when it was written. Now, here's what's funny. You know the song.
They held a concert out in Brooklyn. took over Mexico. There are not many who remember. They say a handful still survive.
One of the most well-known, famous, incredible, in my opinion, musicians of our time, Billy Joel, Miami 2017, coining new words today on the show. Why did Billy Joel write a science fiction song, as he describes it, about an apocalypse occurring in New York? And when did he write it? Well, it was released on the Turnstiles album. And if you listen to Billy Joel at all, no matter how old you are, you'll think Turnstiles, that's an early album. What could possibly have been happening, what, 40 years ago? Is it 50 years ago now? Let's call it 40, because in 1976, I was a sophomore in high school. Good, it is 40. At any rate, why would Billy Joel write a song about seeing the lights go down in Broadway, on Broadway, about an apocalypse in New York and Brooklyn and Manhattan burning and sinking and being put underground with no lights? Well, shockingly, Billy Joel was living in Los Angeles in 75. Sorry, that's not the shocking part. I mean, lots of people live in, well, anyway. So, New York City at the time, in the mid-70s, was on the verge of default. New York City was going to declare bankruptcy. They even asked the feds for help. The New York Daily News had a headline, Ford to City. That's not the motor cars, for those of you that weren't around back then. That's Gerald Ford, the president. The headline was, Ford to City, drop dead. So Billy Joel wrote the song because people were tired. If they were New Yorkers, and of course Billy Joel's a New Yorker, they were tired of people deriding their city because of the catastrophe it was facing. So Billy Joel decided, quote, if New York's going to go down the tubes, I'm going to go back to New York, unquote. So he wrote the song about this apocalyptic occurrence that was about to happen in New York to defend the city and also to sort of call out for, hey guys, we got to get it together. Okay. That's 40 years ago. That's 40 years ago. There's probably not a president who's been elected in this country in the history of mankind, except maybe the first few, that somebody didn't say, if we elect that man in this election, you can also elect a woman. See, we're coming along. If you elect that person as president, we're all going to die. The earth will be destroyed. We will all lose our money. Something bad, really bad, will happen. Therefore, vote for the other one that other people are telling you will cause the same exact thing. What is this fascination we have? What is this fascination we have with apocalypses and the end of the world? And it's got to be all one thing and all another, or none of the other. So I decided to talk a little bit today about how we seem to have this obsession with the end of the world, with everything going south. Maybe it makes us feel better, because when it doesn't, you know, clearly we're in a better place. I'm not really sure why we have it, but I think we should recognize we do. Stayed on a hotel on the trip this week, flipping channels, and came across an interesting science fiction movie, District 9. where evidently this alien race is able to accidentally turn human beings into something called prawns. Anyway, that's not the topic. My point is, you know, you turn on a movie to relax before you, you know, call it a night after your drive, and there's this person turning into some shrimp on your screen, because of course humanity is going to end as a result. So maybe we get too caught up with all this stuff, but on the other hand, maybe we should recognize it. Maybe we should recognize it. So after the break, we'll talk a little more about things that we project, things that we talk about, things that maybe we should let go, and other things that maybe we should keep. After the break. Hi, this is Paul Puckett. As you may know, I love coffee. My friends would tell you I don't love coffee. It's an obsession, and not just any coffee. Espresso. If you're in the Bradenton area, one of the jewels of Bradenton is Old Main Street, and you'll find a coffee shop, B-Town Coffee, with a great alley and awnings and fans to keep you cool in the summer and in the shade, free Wi-Fi, and quite frankly, the best hot dog in town. Stop by. You'll enjoy B-Town Coffee. I wonder how many of you, when I talk about B-Town Coffee, suddenly wish you were there sipping on an espresso and ordering one of their absolutely incredible hot dogs. All righty. So, again, it's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with reading a horoscope in the morning, as long as you don't take it too seriously. You know, there are indications when we listen to our inner voice of things and things that are in the back of our subconscious, maybe, that we're not addressing that we should be. So there's nothing wrong with taking a moment and reading a horoscope. And there's nothing wrong with just feeling like something is going to end the world. Maybe it will end, maybe it won't. But, you know, I wrote in the Investophobia when I was writing about fears, about my own fears that weren't related to money, of flying. And when I began the process, it happened fairly quickly. I was sitting on the plane with my eyes screwed shut, dreading the next 9.5 hours to Italy, about a 10.5 hour flight. I guess we were around 45 minutes in. I opened my eyes, and there's kids playing dominoes and kids playing in the aisle and some older guys playing dominoes, and people are drinking Chianti and having a good time. And I thought, why am I sitting here terrified this entire flight? If the pilot flies too low when we ram a mountain in the Alps, at least they're having fun. I learned some of that from my dog, Harry, as well. Although Harry, fortunately, and, you know, I don't have to worry about the embarrassment of him knowing I was once scared of flying, because he's never actually seen that. And he's terrified of flying. If I take him anywhere near an airport, he's not a happy camper. So maybe he would just share my old feeling. But at any rate, my point is, we don't have to accept things the way they are. We can make changes. We can decide, I'm not going to worry about that anymore. Or we can worry more. If a horoscope helps you think, wow, that's cool, I knew I was going to have a great day, I think that's awesome. If anything you look at makes you think you're going to have a bad day, it's not just the New Age movement out there on the fringe, maybe in your opinion of society. Psychologists would tell you. Deepak Chopra would tell you. If you're thinking about it, if you're thinking it will happen, you just increase the odds. Now, we don't have the... If we have the power to make things happen immediately, we've forgotten how to do it. So it doesn't mean if you start thinking of an apocalypse, we're all going to experience one. We're going to come back to that word apocalypse in a minute. But sometimes I wonder if maybe the reason why investors particularly, and people who suddenly have money, like from a winning of a lottery, or they inherit the money, or even some people who have worked hard for the money, are always thinking in the back of their head, man, I could lose this. Could it be they're thinking, easy come, easy go? And that was the Decemberist. The Decemberist is a folk rock group, an indie rock group, I guess you would say. And that was their song, Easy Come, Easy Go. I'll put a link to the song and the band on the website, gettingthere.life. Maybe we worry we're going to lose things because we got them so easily. Or once we have them, even though maybe we worked really hard to get them, it feels like it came easily because we've already got it. You know, and that's an okay feeling to have, maybe, unless it stresses you out or causes you to make poor investment decisions. Now, getting back to that word horoscope at the beginning of the show. The concern I have, the reason I'm here on the air, well, for one thing, it's fun. I get to share some good music. You can pick and choose. If you don't like some of that music, you can say, hey, you know, I liked that one, but I wish you hadn't played that one, whatever. It's fun. But the other reason I'm on here is because over a 28-year career in the financial services industry, and quick disclosure, my name is Paul Puckett. I'm an investment advisor representative of Q1 Advisors in Virginia and Florida, an independent insurance agent in Florida and Virginia. Why do I tell you that? Well, because you should know that the advice I give on this show is general in nature. It is not specific. You probably will not hear anything you could interpret as specific advice, but if you do, if I say buy Blue Star, that does not mean run out and buy Blue Star. It's probably part of a story. See, the thing is, when you pick somebody, that was the end of the disclosure, by the way. For more information on Q1 Advisors, go to www.q1advisors.com. Want to know more about me? Go to www.ppuckett.com, P-P-U-C-K-E-T-T.com, or the show's website, gettingthere.life. Here's the thing. So many of us have unnecessary stress relating to what? Money. Not enough? Well, clearly that can be stressful. Loads of credit card debt? Yep. Phone call from the IRS? Well, yeah, that'll probably make your day. But, you know, believe it or not, in my experience, and people don't believe this, and I get that, I've seen very wealthy people. Well, I don't mean like 100 million plus, but I've seen people with millions of dollars just having major stress relating to the fear they have about what's going to happen with that money. You know, and they hire people, which is a good thing to do. But I wonder sometimes how they make those choices. Do they look at a horoscope? Today is not the day. Don't hire the guy you meet with today. You know, I don't know. But there should be a rational process for doing that. Part of which simply involves taking a real close look at how the firm is structured and set up. I'm not going to go into that at the moment on the radio, except to say that there are great resources out there. FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, is the regulator of broker-dealers. It's a self-regulatory agency, meaning the regulator itself is made up of broker-dealers. No, that's not necessarily a bad thing. FINRA's website has a link on it for investors who want to be educated. Now, you can get a little carried away. It may get more detail than you need. But I encourage you to look at websites like that one and the SEC's website, sec.gov. That's the Securities and Exchange Commission's website, which also has a section for investor education. The SEC is a regulator of investment advisors like me, except that most investment advisors, in my case specifically, Q1 Advisors, is state regulated. You have to be a certain size to have the pleasure of direct regulation by the SEC. I think state regulators do a great job. I think the SEC does its best. I think they're very good at what they do and understaffed. That's just a personal opinion. So in the end, it's up to you to protect yourself, and how you pick and select the professionals and the products that you use in your investment management should be structured, should have a plan, should reflect who you are, but at the same time reflect what you need. And here's the thing. Just get it done, because once you've got it done, you tend to have less fears about what's happening. You tend to have a little more confidence in what's going on. And all you got to do is get it done. The problem is lots of people spend their entire lives trying to put together their investment plan. And that's not a good way to spend your life, is it? Put together the plan, execute the plan, and go have fun. The emphasis I like to do on this show is live your life, go have fun. I mean, it doesn't have to be a problem. You don't have to worry about a coming apocalypse due to somebody being elected. Now, does that mean I'm predicting the market will not rise or fall based on who's elected? Well, it may rise or fall based on all sorts of things, but if you're a long-term investor, what do you care? Don't put any money. Now, this sounds like specific advice, doesn't it? However, you can listen to this one. I don't care who you are. Don't put money in the stock market if you need it soon. Now, what does soon mean? Stock market investments should generally be 10-year plus. Matter of fact, I've gotten to where I almost say 15, because we actually had a 10-year period in the S&P 500 where it was not exactly what one would call a positive number. You don't want to put money in the stock market and then have to sell at a low when you need it. But over the long term, you shouldn't really have any fear. It's unnecessary. You know, on this show, I like to tell stories. And as you accumulate wisdom, well, usually that takes place as time passes. So your hair turns gray. Maybe there's lines across your face. You know, I'm making your day now, aren't I? Well, I'm actually using lyrics from a really great song. We're going to talk about what an apocalypse really is after this song. The song's not about an apocalypse. It's only loosely tied to the theme, but I was dying to play this artist who I first heard live on a cruise back in, I don't know, 2010 maybe, 2009 or 10. You've heard me mention that cruise before. And this is a singer, phenomenal band. It's just three people, at least on the ship. I haven't looked at the recording to see who all is on this one. But this is a singer talking about her story. And the song is called The Story.
All of these lines across my face tell you the story of who I am. So many stories. Got no one to tell them to. It's true, I was made for you. I climbed across the mountain tops, swam all across the ocean blue, across the
And that was, in my opinion, a very powerful song. I loved hearing her sing that live. It was the first time I had heard her. And the Twins, that's the rest of the band, it's just a phenomenal visual and audio experience if you get an opportunity to hear Brandi Carlile. That was her title cut from the Story album, The Story. And she's talking about how little we actually know about people and what their story actually is and what her story is. And you have a story as well. You don't necessarily have to tell everybody your story, but it helps if you know it yourself. You'll gain confidence in what you've accomplished and maybe, perhaps, notice some things. Not that you would need to work on, but, you know, think of me. There's clearly some things I could work on. For instance, I could script the show so that I don't have to sort of spontaneously come up with something. On the other hand, that would ruin the spontaneity. So I'll stick with mine. But that was Brandi Carlile's The Story. Great singer, great musician, great band. Link will be on the website if you've never heard Brandi Carlile. There is no album she did that I don't recommend. Okay. So, I'm still not talking about candidates on the election show, since the two parties have either finished or are about to finish their conventions. I knew there was a word for that. You can tell I'm very much into those conventions. Now, maybe sometimes we think the apocalypse is coming because, well, we're not doing enough to prevent it from coming, right? There must be something we can do. And look at that guy we elected last time. You know, how did we survive that? And now, if we elect one of the people that's running now, we're all going to die, lose our money. The sea levels will cover Florida. You know, Manhattan will burn, et cetera, et cetera. We just have this fascination with that. Maybe one of the reasons we think of things like that is we realize we're just not doing as much as we should be. We're not getting anywhere. We're not going anywhere. And we don't admit that. But the fact that we know we're not doing as much as we could do might make us feel that way. All right, now I want to fix something I just said. I'm not changing it, I'm fixing it. What I said, I mean, you may experience stress or think something bad is going to happen simply because you don't feel like you're doing enough. All right? That is not the message of this show. The message of this show is have fun, live your life. I said what I said because sometimes if you feel like you're not doing enough, it doesn't necessarily mean you're not doing enough, but the feeling that you aren't can get in the way of enjoying your life. Can it not? Ever experienced that? So, whoever gets elected, we're going to be fine. Maybe less fine, maybe more fine. Who knows? By the way, the president doesn't control everything. There's this thing called Congress. That's just federal level. Supreme Court, then you get down to the states. There are plenty of reasons to be pessimistic. There are more reasons not to be. There's more reasons not to be. I think I played this artist, but I don't believe I've played this song. If I have, you get to hear it again. Boy, wouldn't that be a shame? It's one of my favorites. This song has nothing to do with what we're talking about, except that it's a song about going somewhere. Song about getting somewhere. I think you'll hear the words 900 miles somewhere in this awesome song, Tab Benoit, Night Train.
I'm a night train rolling 900 miles. I'm a night train, baby, rolling 900 miles.
And that was Tab Bentois' Night Train. I just realized at a subconscious level why I probably picked that song. He's a night train going about 900 miles. Well, I just drove 900 miles. That's the distance from Virginia Beach to Southwest Florida. And it was, as usual, an enjoyable yet often boring drive. I like the song. I like the guitarist. What do you want? Besides, the point is, maybe sometimes we don't feel like we're moving. We feel pressure to get that 900 miles in. Then we let that create stress in our lives. Then we talk to a friend about who they're voting for in the election. And then we find out more than we ever wanted to know about what they're thinking. Hey, if you're into politics, it's totally okay. My point is, anything that raises your stress ultimately affects your life, and it may affect your portfolio depending on, well, how you make your decisions. Now, I said we're going to come back to that word apocalypse. I know I've covered this on the show before, but, you know, repetition is not necessarily a bad thing. And you may have missed that show. Apocalypse. Well, I mean, that may bring to you visions of a Vietnam movie, Apocalypse Now, Vietnam War movie. You may, from a religious standpoint, picture the end of the world. Again, I'm not playing REM, The End of the World as We Know It, because I know you know that song. You knew the Billy Joel one, too, but didn't know if you knew the story behind it. You know, is that what an apocalypse really is? Is that the only meaning of the word? Means the end? Actually, apocalypse, the root word, comes from the Greeks. And it has a slightly different meaning than what you may have expected. It certainly had a slightly different meaning than I thought it would. It means the lifting of the curtain. Now, I know I've told this story before because I'm going to tell the exact same one again, I bet. Wizard of Oz. Toto notices, ignores the presentation on the, I guess you'd say, stage. He notices the little curtain off to the side. And the little dog goes over and pulls that curtain out of the way in the movie. I know I've told this story because in the book, he accidentally knocks into the curtain. In the movie, he saves the day by pulling back the curtain and exposing the wizard, who in fact is not a wizard. So, apocalypse means a view behind the curtain. It means an insight. It means finding something out that you didn't know. Well, what's wrong with that? I think that sounds pretty good, don't you? So, as I've said to you before, maybe we should all have a personal apocalypse. Wouldn't that be fun? I'm serious. Take a pause. Take a break. Relax. Listen to your inner voice. See if it's telling you anything that maybe you need to let go or focus on. See if you can find just a wee bit of insight without necessarily getting it from your choice of news stations regarding the upcoming election. And who knows, maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe if we elect either one of them, there will be an apocalypse, and that apocalypse will be the lifting of the curtain. That one I completely thought up while I was talking. Hope you liked it. Let's take a brief break, and then a great band coming up, one of my favorites to hear live. Sometimes as I get towards the end of the show, I realize I didn't cover what I planned, which is okay. So let's talk about the election now that there's only a few minutes left for you to turn off the radio. Don't reach for the dial. You know I'm not going to talk about the candidates. Well, no, I'm not. Here's a thought that may get us through the next, let's see, August, September, October. We've got a little over 3 months, and the election will be done. During the breaks, I occasionally scan the headlines to see if there's anything interesting I should share with you. I do not encourage scanning headlines because every single time I do, I start wondering if it's the end of the world. It's an election year. We have them every 4 years for the presidency, every 2 years for Congress, or at least some of the people in Congress who seem to be perpetually there, but that's a topic for another day on a different show about politics, maybe. Look, if you're diehard and you're partisan and you just have to talk about your candidate and how they're going to save the world and how the other candidate is going to end the world, it's okay. You'll know whether anybody wants to listen to you or not by how many people try to avoid you between now and the election. And it's also okay if you're ambivalent. If you look at the choices and decide to possibly waste a vote on a third party, or maybe this is the year that a third party will jump in. Who knows? The point I wanted to make with talking a little bit about your own personal apocalypse and getting guidance from a horoscope in the morning is whatever it is that you do to get through your day is okay with me, as long as it doesn't get in your way. This is a judgment-free zone here at Getting There. And maybe all of it's okay. Maybe there's not a right way for all of us to do something. Maybe it's more what's right for each one of us. So it's okay with me if you're on LinkedIn or Facebook and on my timeline, if you tell me all the reasons why I need to vote for somebody and how the world is going to end if I vote for someone else. But the truth is, as for me, voting is a private matter. I wish it was for many people, but it's okay. Perhaps it's just because, yeah, I'm not really seeing anything that gets me all enthusiastic. It's been a long time since I have. But whatever it is that you're doing relating to the election, whatever it is that you're feeling, however fired up you are, however not fired up you are, maybe there ain't nothing wrong with that. Great band. I've seen these guys live several times. If you ever get an opportunity to hear Robert Randolph and the Family Band live, get out and do it. Here's Ain't Nothing Wrong With That.
Yeah.
Robert Randolph and the Family Band, Ain't Nothing Wrong With That. That last course, It Don't Matter, Get Loose. It Don't Matter, Let It Go. It Don't Matter, Let It Go. It Don't Matter. If you want to let it go, it don't matter. Let it go. Just trying to let you know that it don't matter. Okay, maybe it matters a little bit, but let's just stop obsessing with who's going to win the election and how we're all going to die if not. Let's focus on our own lives. Focus on our own day. Be you. Nobody else wants to be you. And if you're wise, only you can be you. So why not be you and let some of this stuff go? Now, for the three of you who are so excited about this election that being you means making sure I and everybody else know about it, I just want to let you know, it's cool. It's cool. For those of you that want to hear an election show, you can find them everywhere for the next 3 months. Oh, boy. You know, maybe that's why I like music so much. Maybe that's why I like music so much, because I don't know about you, but when I'm listening to a really good band, really good song, my brain is doing things that don't involve thinking. Maybe what we need to do in the next 3 months is listen to a lot of music. Maybe the personal apocalypse and seeing behind the curtain is seeing there are better things for us to focus on. That does not mean I'm discouraging you from voting or telling you it don't matter. It does matter, but maybe it don't matter every minute of every day. I think that was a coherent message. If not, I'll try to do the short version. 3 more months, there'll be an election. The world will not end as a result. You heard it here first or last. It's not the end of the world, guys. All right. Real quickly, somebody said something to me the other day at, I believe, a coffee shop about how investment advisors like me charge our fees. I'm going to do this in a minute. And the fact that they're ongoing, he said, why can't you just charge me a percentage of what you make for me? If you don't make anything, you don't get anything. If you make something, then you can take a piece of that. Well, next week, we're going to talk a little bit about the types of investors who charge performance-based fees. Why most of us don't. I'll give you a hint. Part of it's regulatory. Second hint. Oh, boy. You just don't want to know what we would do as investment advisors if we knew we're only getting paid when you make money. So I'll leave that unexplained for next week. Try to enjoy your 12 weeks before the election week. I'll see you in August, and I hope you have a great day regardless, or either that or because of what's your horoscope. Said. This is Paul Puckett with Getting There. See you next week.